Hey Enneagram friends, I'm Abby, an IEA accredited Enneagram teacher and coach. I teach Enneagram workshops with corporate and nonprofit teams, and I also facilitate executive coaching as part of that professional development experience. I'd love to bring the Enneagram to your workplace. Today on the podcast, I'm joined in a live coaching session with an Enneagram 3 after an Enneagram workshop that I facilitated with her work team. In this coaching session, we explore the drive of Type 3 and how she can be mindful of the pace at which she's often hustling through her day. We also explore how Type 3s are self-motivated to pursue their goals or the team's goals, but other types aren't necessarily wired to be motivated that way. Whether you identify as a 3 or you have Enneagram 3s in your world, I hope you'll listen in with curiosity and see what resonates in your experience. When you scheduled of just wanting to be mindful of the dynamics of having so many assertive stance numbers on your team. I'd love to hear in your own words, what feels most helpful for us to explore or unpack in our time together?
Yeah, I think a constant theme in my life, and this is not a therapy session, I'll try not to turn it into one. Is that my drive and motivation outpace 99% of everybody else's.
Yeah.
And I find that I get extremely frustrated with people that, and I don't expect everybody to run at the same pace as I do, but I do find that I have like just certain expectations of people that I feel like constantly get let down.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm pretty good at setting expectations too. And so I think my frustration is like, my degree is business. My degree is also communication. So I am an over communicator. Like if I can or can't do something, I'm going to really communicate that to you so that you understand that I've given you the expectation. And I feel like where I get frustrated is when people on my team or just people in life don't give me that same courtesy. Like if we have decided that we're doing something and then I mentioned this, like during our team meeting that like, and then all of a sudden the like deadline or whatever it is comes and you have not communicated that you couldn't get it done. Like it really frustrates me.
Yeah.
So, 'cause I'm like, now this is delayed. I'm looking at like big picture of like now all these other things are delayed. You know, and you chose not to communicate that. So I think that's something that like, what can I do for my non-3s that are not as motivated just to like get stuff done in general, like I am? And how can I just be a better leader for them?
Yeah. Yeah. Those are all really good questions. When you think about your current context and these conversations that continue to arise of, you know, the deadline has not been met, but also there's been no communication about the lack of meeting the deadline. Does it feel like it really is just the 3s or is it actually lots of people on the team?
Oh no, it's not my 3s. My 3s actually like
just not your 3s. Okay. Okay. So, but it doesn't feel like it really is everyone. It is just your non-3s, I guess I should say it that way.
For the most part, yeah. Okay. Honestly, like my 3s on the team, and there are obviously only 2 non-3s. but I've had past team members, like past teams where we weren't all 3s, and I've had the same problem. And so it's typically the non-3s that like I can't figure out how to motivate them. Like how, and I ask them like, what are you motivated by? Are you money? Are you monetarily motivated? Are you, you know, are you motivated by experiences? Are you motivated by just praise? Are you, and I've asked that and they tell me, and then I do those things and it doesn't help. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, you know, as we think about, it's kind of these two different problems of not being able to keep up with the pace, which is meeting the deadlines, and then not communicating that that's happening for them, that they're not going to be able to meet this deadline or that it hasn't been met and maybe it's already passed. You know, with the strong orientation for type 3
is how to be successful in any given setting. And if they're ever in a setting where they think, I don't know how to be successful here, they tend to move away from that setting pretty quickly. And they don't, you know, they're not a like, we'll keep testing it out. Eventually we'll live and learn and get there. They're usually pretty quickly at assessing, how am I successful here? And if I can't do it, then I'm going to opt out and pick somewhere else to be. So that is a very three orientation. But what is so common sense for you is not common sense for other numbers. So some numbers, they have their own skill set that helps keep in line with you, right? They can keep your pace, right? They have a lot of doing intelligence of what needs to get done in any given moment, or they have a strong orientation towards structure so they can just follow the steps and keep up with you. But for some of the withdrawn numbers who are in your group that are not threes, right? It's not only that they're not a three, but they're also in the withdrawn stance. Their orientation is very different in keeping that same speed. So thinking specifically about the withdrawn stance, their orientation to time being the past is very different than the orientation to time of the future, of where are we heading. It's much more of a ruminating and reminiscing, and sometimes it can be really strategic thinking about the future, but it does not have the same pace and energy to it. And so with that, what is so common sense for you of what needs to get done and how to make all these things fit in the schedule, it's just not. They have completely different things that they're talented in that are not as much of that. And so sometimes what happens for the withdrawn stance is the world around them can get going so quick that rather than trying to keep up, it's almost the sense of like, it's a blur and then I don't know what to do. And so now I'm at a standstill watching things happen because it's just, I couldn't even pretend to keep up with it. And so sometimes-
Daniel's expressed that a couple times.
It's almost the sense of I can't keep up. And so what shows up is the sense of procrastinating, and it is mostly a like, everything's going so quickly, I don't know what to do. So again, that's a lot of me kind of talking through some of what might be their experience, but how does that land as you think about your current context?
I mean, I definitely think that concept, like Danielle, who is in operations, she was a four. And she is both, she's a singer in our company, but then she oversees like all client communication, all the events. So she's very detail oriented. She moves very quickly with us. But then it's almost like what you described, that tornado, then like her feet get like swept up. And even though it's not necessarily a three, which you described that for threes, she literally will just shut down. She's like, I physically don't know. Like, I have so much to do. I can't put one foot in front of the other. And so then but what I appreciate about her is that she communicates it. She'll come to me and she'll be like, you know what? I am literally frozen. Like I'm stressed. I can't move forward. I have no idea where to go from here. Can we figure this out together? And we do. And we lay out the plan of like, you know what? Like, let's take this off your plate. Let's do this. And like, I will take that from an employee all day long. Like that's normal. That's a very human response to feel like, you know, you just can't move forward. And when you have too much on your plate, I just kind of think as our company is expanding, I can't always expect to have threes on my team. No. I can't always expect that, you know, we're all, and that we shouldn't have all threes. That would, we'd probably all just combust. And so I guess, you know, my question is one, like with the threes that we currently have in the company, because there's so many of us and we're so driven, and I am like at the helm of, you know, psychotically driven. And I'm curious, like, how not to just like exhaust everybody, even though we all have a big drive, you know, knowing that I have the biggest drive. When we set our goals, we always set them as a team. I'm not the kind of leader where I give you deadlines. I want to talk about them and make sure they're realistic. And so we talk about them, and I totally believe that, like, we believe that we can do them. But then how do we even as a team, like, become even more mindful and aware of that tornado? Like we can go so fast that we're all going to like get our feet swept out from underneath us. And I've even seen it for myself. over the last 2 years. When you said that, like, it's happened to me twice in my life where like it literally, I went so fast. I'm CEO of a company. I'm on 3 boards. I was planning a friend's wedding. I was having 3 surgeries. And then all of a sudden it was like, I literally just got swept up and it felt like I just got knocked right on my butt.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, how do I not, it's not that I don't know how to say no. It's that I truly believe that I can do it all. And that's so bad.
For sure though. But everything you're describing is a very normal 3 experience. So, you know, even that sense of, it's not that I can't say no, you know, what happens for 3s and even the assertive stance in general, our 7s and 8s also, there's an orientation towards you're easy with passing out your yeses because you're excited and you can do whatever the thing is. You just may not be able to do everything at the same time, right? It's not usually that you say yes to something that you can't do. It's that you can't do that with the other 8 yeses you gave out that day. And so one of the invitations I offer for 3s is to be mindful of just because you can do it, doesn't mean you should do it.
Doesn't mean you should.
Yes.
Yeah. And I tell myself that all the time.
But it really is. There's one of the sense of like, well, I can pull that off or I can make that happen or I can do this. And just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Right.
And so having some internal pause before you give your yeses, sometimes even just a little bit of a delay, like don't say yes in the moment. Say like, let me check my my work schedule. Let me check my list. Let me check my whatever. And even if it is that you know your answer is a yes, sit on it for just a day, you know, especially if you have someone that is not a 3, you know, like a partner or a friend that you can bounce things off of. Sometimes that is a really good way of balancing out the overcapacity.
Yeah. Justin, my business partner is a 3.
Yep.
My husband is a 3.
Okay. Okay. So find some other people.
I think one of my children are 3. I know. I think one of my children are 3s. I'm surrounded.
That is the other thing though, is, you know, even as you guys continue growing, being really mindful about adding other personalities into your team will help you slow down your pace. You know, one of the invitations for 3s is quality over quantity. Not that your work isn't quality, right? That's always what you're producing. But really letting there be this orientation towards success does not have to mean quantity. It can mean the quality or it can mean something that has nothing to do with profit, right? It can be the nature of your team or some of these what might feel like even more intangible goals, being mindful of what those things, what you want your team to feel like or your workspace or your presence in the world, how people perceive your company, right? Some of those more nuanced, almost emotion-based goals rather than the tangible, this is how many people we served or this is how many events we had. But having more personalities on the team that are not oriented in the same way as a 3, it will help to naturally slow you down. It creates natural checks and balances. And so there has to be a desire to be slowed down though. You know what I mean? Like the awareness that a 3 has of their capacity to overextend and to overwork and to overdo and the negative repercussions that can have in burnout, that will help fuel the desire to slow down. But when you hire those people, you have to listen to them too, right? It can't be that it feels like we're constantly, you know, it's a whiplash for them and we're constantly pulling them along. There has to be an overarching desire with you and leadership of, we want to be really mindful about this. And so we're going to balance this out so that we don't just sprint through this season. Because it's not just to protect, you know, the people on your team that are not 3s, it's also to protect you guys too, right? Because you all have collective experiences of your feet getting swept out from under you.
Yeah, no, for sure. How, so when we're setting goals for the year, we've set them for this year. We always try to have goals that are not quite as measurable. It's more like our company happiness, like, is one of our goals. And so we set different things that we think can bring more happiness to our performers or our internal team. And we talk about those things, which I feel like really, they matter a lot to me. I'm always looking at, you know, the revenue and stuff like that, like the things that are actually going to bring in money. But I think those goals are really important. Is there like Is there some other way that we should be setting goals for our people that are not threes, that are less like tangible, that are more emotional based?
Mm-hmm. So not
and, like, can you give me an example?
Yeah. So not that it has to be specifically emotional based, but goals. So goals are great. Goals are also very three language. So having goals of where you want mm-hmm. to go and what you want to do at any given moment, threes usually have those, whether they're tangibly written down somewhere on a vision board or they're just mm-hmm. in their internal mind.
They're definitely written down.
So there's nothing wrong with that. That's really helpful, right? There's tons of leadership books and business development books that have goals in there. But that feeling like very comfortable common sense language to you is also part of being a three. All the other types mm-hmm. don't really think in terms of goals. They have other things that are helping to move them forward and to Weird. Keep them balanced. So, you know, even when we think about like the company cultures and even kind of corporate America is a very three culture, you know, even just capitalism, right? Yeah. Of if you want it, you can have it. And if you work hard enough, you'll get there. It's a very three mentality. Yeah. And so goals and that being part of work environments falls into that. So for all the other eight mm-hmm. types, some of the more language that they would use as moving forward in a way that's life-giving into who they want to be, they might use other words like healthy habits or rhythms, or if they, you know, are more nuanced and creative, they might use rituals, right? They might have these different things that are steps moving them towards mm-hmm. balance and well-being and who they want to be in the world. That is not a neon sign of this is where I'm sprinting towards and this is who I want to be or how I want us to be. But it's instead almost these, here's the next right step. The next right step is that I eat 3 meals a day and get 7 to 9 hours of sleep, right? Or the next right step is I want to get, I want to take steps towards this certification, or I want to take steps towards whatever. Mm-hmm. And so inviting, it's fine to have the goal, but also inviting mm-hmm. into the conversation, you know, what is your step this month, or what are some rhythms that you want to invite into your week or your day or your month, right? Some habits, rhythms, steps, rituals, some of these smaller bite-sized mm-hmm. things, because for the three, you know, they're really motivated by the neon sign of this is mm-hmm. where we're heading and this is the goal. And for others, mm-hmm. that can feel really debilitating almost of like, how in the world mm-hmm. would we ever get there? Or that's not at all motivating because mm-hmm. I just forget about it. I have so many things going on right now, or I'm kind of, you know, reminiscing in the past that the neon sign, I don't even notice it. I'm just doing my stuff and checking my inbox. Mm-hmm. And so inviting some of that other language that's more inclusive for the other types. So how does that land as I offer that?
No, that's really interesting. I've never heard of that before. My team, we have like the company's OKRs. We have three objectives or four objectives that we're trying to hit each year. We have the big items that we're going to do to meet that objective. And then under the big items, we have the steps that we're going to take to get that. And we do that as a team. We break it down. Obviously, I have the majority of threes. So it's like, you know, we are all on fire that day. And it's actually a really fun day. I'm assuming from the perspective of a three, I would really be curious to see how my four and my nine feel after that day. But all my threes are like psyched after that day. Cause we have our action plan. And then after that, what happens is that the tasks get funneled into the team members now portal where they now know their actionable steps that they have to take. So I'm going to have to like do some thinking on, obviously, like we have these big goals. We have things that like we have to hit as a company and do as a company this year. And how can I make that into their language? You know, how do I take what are the steps really that have to be taken to get a project done? How do I make that not scary? You know, to me, it's not scary because it's now broken down and you have every step that you have to take, But is that still scary to them? Maybe.
Right. Well, and it can't. Yeah, that's also a good conversation. And it's not even scary. It's the sense that it's almost twofold. Of one, in some ways that it is, it's just not motivating, right? In the same way that for a three, of seeing where you're running, seeing the finish line feels incredibly motivating because it's like, this is where we're going. Mm-hmm. This is the target that we're shooting for. And so now I know which direction to sprint. For others, it's like they don't even see the goal is not a finish line for them. It's not motivating in the same way. It just becomes this another thing that we do, and it's a day that we spend talking about this other thing. It's not energizing. Mm-hmm. It's not motivating. And also, it can be overwhelming, right? If they do see it and it feels like, you know, I can't make that happen, or I don't. This feels like a wishful thinking or whatever it might be, it could also be overwhelming. And so it can fall in either way of like, I don't ever think about our goal, or I'm completely overwhelmed by our goal. So then I stop thinking about it because I'm overwhelmed by it.
Right. So then for those with what, you know, how do we get them to still hit the goals without it being, I mean, the healthy habits, like I don't quite understand how we could take those things and make them like transform the goal into more of a healthy habit.
Yeah.
And I know we're out of time.
We're always out of time. So just some final thoughts. So if you, as you think through those translations of the goals into funneling into, you know, objectives and steps, if you, in that conversation with them, as they're looking at more of the ground piece to it, so not so much focus on the vision, but on the tangible, on the ground steps that have to be taken, breaking those into and making sure that they're translated into like, so here's the job. So here's what the expectation is, and here's the job. So that it's not so much focus on the neon sign of the goal, but more of like, here is the holding environment, the structure that is created for your job. And so these are the things that have to get done.
So when I'm setting their goals, I do notice that them specifically, my non-threes, I end up putting a lot of things in their goals that seem like they're just reminders of like their job. Mm-hmm. It's like daily completion of your emails, like things like that. And I always felt like that was silly, but I'm wondering if things like that, like here are the rules, here are the expectations, like that's just reminding them of those instead.
And so I think
I guess
that is a fine thing to do. That's fine. And unless that's creating 20 goals, then that's overwhelming. But if inclusion of those things just feel like, no, these are just helpful kind of like checklists for your day or checklists for your week, then it probably doesn't feel overwhelming. It's more of just like you're creating kind of this structure, this scaffolding to hold around their position. But I just want to offer that because I think sometimes it, for threes, it feels like I can make you successful if you just let me. And sometimes people don't want to be successful in the setting that you're in.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I know. That is totally a mentality. I'm like, I can make you great.
Yeah. Yes. That's great, right? Well, some people really need that like empowerment and cheerleading and coaching. And some people, they're just not, that's not the season that they're in. And this isn't the setting that they want to be in. And that's okay too.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. That was so great. I'm excited to kind of look into that a little bit more about the different ways that we could maybe structure for our fours and nines. So thank you.
Are you looking for meaningful ways to support your staff and provide opportunities for engagement? I love teaching organizations about the Enneagram and how to use this system for increased self-awareness and also more compassionate collaboration with others in the workplace. You can schedule a free consultation call with the link in the show notes to explore how bringing the Enneagram to your workplace will benefit your organization. I look forward to connecting with you soon.